Our reading is from the first chapter of the New Testament. It's from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to the end. Matthew chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 18. Let's hear God's word. Now the birth of Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until they had given birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus. That's God's word. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us. For your glory. Amen.
Amen.
What does your name mean? If you care to find out after the service, not during it, but after the service, you can Google your name and find out what it means. I remember the day I found out what my name means. I told it to my mother. I told her that John was a Jewish name that meant God's gracious gift. And she looked at me as if to, and then said, oh yes, of course it does, son. As if it was my fault that my name was John. good Scouse parenting, you say. That's what my name means. I wonder what my wife would say about that. I bet she'd look at me in exactly the same way. But what does your name mean? In the Bible, sometimes, not always, but sometimes a name is given specifically by God for a specific purpose. And this is one such time in this chapter. There's two names given to the Lord Jesus Christ in our reading today. And we're going to look at both of them, and then we're going to give an invitation. The first one is in verse 21, you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua, and in English we would call that Joshua. You actually call Jesus Jesus because of Alexander the Great. Really, you do. He conquered the Middle East and made Greek the universal language. And the New Testament was written in Greek. If that hadn't happened, we would all know him as Joshua of Nazareth. So that, it means Joshua. And like Joshua in the Old Testament, it means one who saves. Or the Lord saves. This person, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is one whom God has sent to save. He will save his people from their sins. What does that mean? Sin means breaking God's law. Doing the things that we shouldn't do and not doing the things that we should. Anything that comes under that category is a sin. Breaking God's law. Even the good things we do, not done entirely out of love for God and neighbor, fall short of his standard. So it's not looking very good for us. We've missed God's perfect standard. That's what sin literally means, actually, missing the mark. God set the mark and we've all missed it. And God in his justice must punish. But God in his grace, his undeserved favor, gave us a rescuer. One who will save. And his name is Jesus. He saves us by living the life that we should have lived and dying the death that we deserve to die. Living the life that we should have lived and dying the death that we deserve to die. Because we all owe God two debts: perfect obedience and payment for sin. Even after we've sinned, we still owe God perfect obedience. And that is how Jesus saves us. But you may ask, and people usually, I used to get asked this a lot. They'd say, I wasn't born when Jesus died, so how can it make a difference to me? It was 2,000 years ago. How could the death of a Jewish preacher under the Roman Empire, in an obscure part of the Roman Empire that the Roman Empire didn't really even want to rule, they just had to pick it up for trading reasons, how can that possibly make any difference to me today? Well, it does. Because of the second name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ was a person who had two natures. A perfectly human nature, a truly human nature, just like you and me. He was human in every sense that we are. He needed to sleep, he needed to eat, he got tired, he died, he submitted to death, because the only thing that was different was sin. He had all the human limitations in his human nature, but it was united with what we call the divine nature or the God nature. That's why his death on the cross has infinite merit to it, an infinite worth. Because the person dying is God in the flesh. God sent his son to die on the cross because only God could bear the wrath of God for sin. Only God had the merit and the worth united with human nature that could pay for everybody's sins. The death of Christ on the cross was the most precious death anyone has ever died because of the infinite worth of the person who died. It was God in the flesh. God, who is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, submitted himself to the law that he gave, as we sing, took upon himself all human frailties, obeyed the law perfectly, and died the death that you and I deserve because we've sinned against God. I don't know why God didn't give a billion different ways of being saved. I don't know why God created people knowing they would fall. But what I do know is, if this is true, that a God who is absolutely holy and righteous took on flesh, lived in this world, died, and then sent his preachers out to proclaim the good news and to give everybody an opportunity of hearing him and responding to him. What I do know is that if that's true, then we can't say God hasn't done enough. God gave his greatest gift at the first Christmas, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not just for us, but to us, so that we can receive him as our rescuer, as our master, as our friend, and as our joy and crown. That's what it means to be saved from your sin. It means to turn away from it and to rest on Christ and Christ alone to be saved. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Is Christ alone your hope today? Is Christ alone your one hope in life and death? Have you received him as your Saviour? Has submitted to him as your Lord? Made him your chief delight and joy? If not, please come to him this very day. Because you can't ever say God hasn't done enough. Because God raised him from the dead. The power of sin is broken. The power of the grave is defeated. And he gives eternal life to all who come to him. So come to him this very day, just as you are. And take him as your Saviour. He who is the Saviour and who is God with us. And then, when you receive him, you have God with you forever. Amen.
Amen.